Meet your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Well, here we are, folks. It's us. It's the team. We got the band back together, didn't we?
We got the band back together. It's three romance lovers. And,
yeah.
It's three rude dudes. Can I say something kind of gross?
No.
Yeah, this is a romance podcast.
We're no longer strange bedfellows. Because Jamie and I are intimate bedfellows.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's my wife.
Okay, that's going a little far, but yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, welcome to the welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Is this the current state of the intro of the podcast? That was the intro?
This is just us loosening up.
Oh.
We're just clearing our throats here.
Okay, yeah. So this isn't the show?
Getting a lay of the land.
Is this the show?
Feeling ourselves a little bit.
I mean, this is all going in. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As you may know, if you listen to our show, I gave up trying to start the podcast by introducing the show about 3 years ago. Because it never took.
So that's the thing where right now I think the shows that you're releasing you're like three or four episodes ahead in what you've recorded. So I was hoping that like the intro, like do you have a sign off yet?
Yeah.
Tanner picks something from the book each week.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you just stole the
Did
move
he remember
from-
to do that this week?
It's just you're doing likely. So you're doing the blank check is what we call that outro.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we call our outro after an outro from another podcast.
Well, I mean, when it's the same,
do they do that?
Do you say "and as always" before you do it? Because that would be a real okay. Then you didn't. It's just it's inspiration. We take inspiration from everywhere all around us. I'm glad
mostly
that you
a way
found...
to for, so that I could continue to make fun of Jack and myself, but. You know what? I'm not going to do it this week. Fuck you guys.
No, I didn't. I didn't mean to. I would like to hear you do it. Now I've ruined everything.
Maybe if you have time after you've listened to Blank Check.
Yeah.
I listened to your show too. What the hell?
Hello, everybody. And it's the Bedfellows. And we're the Bedfellows. And it's Jack is one of them. And Tanner's another. And who else is here today? It's Jamie. Hello.
Hello.
And
Jamie
welcome.
Greenring.
Yes.
Nay Green.
Yeah.
Nay my wife.
Nay my wife.
Tanner saying it.
I hope so.
And we, it's a podcast and it's about the books and romance. And today we did a sequel.
Woo.
Yes.
It's called A Scot in the Dark.
It's our first sequel. Jamie.
By Sarah McLean.
By Sarah McLean. You're something of a romance connoisseur.
Yes.
It's kind of a thing in romance
to do series
sequels, right?
Yeah, not even just sequels but series. Sometimes they're
because we met Alec,
yes,
the protagonist of this book, when we read of The Rogue Not Taken,
yes, which was book one in this series. And longtime or devoted readers of Sarah McLean's work also met, let's see, Lady Georgiana, who we meet in this book. She was the heroine of the last book of the previous series.
Wow.
Is she the one whose husband is
he's a newspaperman.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Duncan West, I think.
Someone in this book's husband is a dink.
Well, that person then would not have been the heroine of a romance novel, because romances don't end with people marrying dinks. They always marry cool people.
Mm. Well, like you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's enough. That's the last of that we're going to have today, folks. It's Scandal and Scoundrel. And I'm realizing now that I've read too that that's the kind of the thing. There's a scandal lady and a scoundrel gentleman. But it's only really in the eyes of the world that they're scandals or scoundrels. In reality, they're neither.
Correct.
Yes.
She's just living her damn life, and he is secretly a nice man. And this is something that I think that you taught me, Jamie. He, like all men in romances, hasn't figured out how to have value himself and have self-worth, and he needs her to help him figure that out.
Yeah, it's a very...
And that's how he's a scoundrel.
Yes. He thinks he's a scoundrel. Of course, in reality, he is a remarkable, upstanding, virtuous, wonderful man, but he thinks that he is worthless. That's a big romance trope.
And he's a Scott in the dark, isn't he? And is it our friend Scott?
Oh, it's spelled differently.
I hope it's not, because we read a lot about him having sex.
Yeah.
That would be awkward.
Sorry, I'm listening to you guys, but yep. I do need to get the outro because I forgot to do that part. So now I'm doing
perfect.
It.
Perfect. That's perfect.
It,
that's
love
great.
It, love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will give us an opportunity to talk about this novel. So it was a good novel. We loved it and enjoyed it very much. It was as good as the previous novel. It was nice to meet some of our old friends. It was also nice, and I'm realizing this is a nice thing about sequels, to see that they still love each other.
The people from the first book?
They're happy.
Of course, yeah.
He's just a doting husband now, and they're all smoochy and stuff. I mean, it's only been 6 months, so...
I'm pretty sure they... So Sarah is now two series past this, and I'm pretty sure that all their kids are just running around and they're still in love. Like, her books are set... She's up to the Victorian era now.
You're telling me that Sarah McLean, the McLeaniverse, is a lot like the Brandon Sanderson universe, where like the universe is all connected, but it will do some like time jumping, and there's like steampunk gangsters who like swallow metal to get superpowers and things along those lines. Is that accurate?
Is that correct? And a yes or no answer, please, Jamie.
Yes, it's the Cosmere of romance novels.
Cool.
That's interesting. What's the wildest thing that exists in the McLeaniverse?
I've got something.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you found
Jack in this book.
Yeah, Jack thinks it happens to be in this book.
Question that you and I like to ask of these novels. We actually haven't done it in a while, but it's a question that's never far from the forefront of our minds when we're reading these books, is where does this novel stand on the spectral realm?
Yes. Mm. Yes. This is a segment that was inspired by the hit Netflix series.
Yeah.
Spectral. Wait, what's it called?
Spectral. Yeah. And it's soldiers fighting
ghost fighting.
And the soldiers fight the ghost. I wish that Sarah had spent more time on this. I know that she was busy with other stuff, but she just gave us a little whiff.
Yeah.
It's this passage. It occurred to him that when this particular house had been downsized to a skeleton staff, several maids had likely been kept on for the purpose of dusting the mad collection of useless items. And then it just moves right past that. But it
moves right past it. So it's
very
spooky.
A staff of skeletons who have been cursed to dust.
Yeah.
Is this the doghouse or is this just a sculpture house?
So the guy has like 17 houses, and I can't remember. I was so taken aback by
Scott?
The skeletons.
The Scott,
Scott.
The dude.
Yeah.
Our friend Scott?
Mm-hmm. It's our friend Scott.
No, it can't be your friend Scott. They talk way too much about his dong.
Yeah.
I
think we're probably pretty close with... I think Scott
I read this book
are close
too.
Enough that we could probably openly talk about our dongs together.
Yeah. That's great. But what about all the other people reading this book?
Well, that actually brings me to... another segment that we have.
Yeah.
Is it the one where we explain the book?
We're done with the spectral stuff?
No, we're gonna explain the book, but first we're gonna do our hit segment that's called Girth Check.
How long that dong? We got some suggestions.
You got some suggestions?
In the Baby Nation Facebook group.
Okay, great.
People were helping us workshop
What's wrong with those two fantastic alternate segments?
Absolutely.
Can I suggest
no idea.
One? Can I suggest
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
What's the worth of that girth?
Okay. What's the girth? What's the girth's worth? How long the dong?
How thick that stick?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a gog at that hog.
Okay. Perfect. Great. Now we have too many segment titles.
Let me credit the authors.
Okay. Perfect.
How mean is that penis?
Emily Hedges Vietti actually came up with both of those.
Ooh.
How thick that stick and a gog for that hog.
So this is, and I hope Scott's listening. There are a few references to it, but the one that was the most clear was also conflicting.
Mm.
So let me read you this passage. He hissed his pleasure at her touch. Sorry for the blue language.
He's Voldemort.
Lily, you're magnificent.
You are magnificent.
She whispered.
Yuck.
I am too big. A beast.
She stroked him. Sorry for this, everybody. She stroked him long and lush. You are too perfect. A man. He closed his eyes and put his forehead to hers.
Thank you.
There was something in the words, an ache she did not like. This is because he still hasn't realized his self-worth. A doubt she did not wish. She stilled. Alec? Oh, his name is Alec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Scott, what'd you're off the hook.
What you think his name
was? Oh. Oh, right. Yeah.
He shook his head. Do not stop. Christ, Lily, do not stop. She did not. Stroking again and again, reveling in the size and strength of him. And then she says, there is a small thing I should like to discuss.
So that,
wait, but
that's, I'm so getting really conflicting information.
Way. Yeah.
Is it big? Reveling in the size and strength of it, but that doesn't necessarily imply
the
that
size
it's
doesn't
huge.
Necessarily mean a large size.
It
we
could
know
be that she's
huge.
Reveling in how, like,
yeah.
Small.
Well, okay, so when she says there's a small thing I want to discuss, does she say it's your penis? Because that could, what's the next sentence?
She changes the subject
to what?
Yeah, she changes the subject to remove from context.
Another small thing? Jack, keep reading. We're going to get to the bottom.
We didn't capture the note, unfortunately.
That's such a shame.
So I guess
we'll never know.
We're going to assume
that it's his penis.
But it's, you know, as we always say with the segment, we just want to, we're butchers. We're,
oh yeah,
we're
your dick
biggest
butchers.
Yeah, yeah, we just
you're scientists.
We're interested in this in the way that we're interested in slabs of meat, which
yeah.
is just
yeah.
to see how big they are.
Talk,
and we don't
talk about Alec is a big slab of meat.
It's not a value
judgment. Can we talk about how
it's
Alec
a
is a big
judgment.
Slab of meat? That's a value judgment.
Alec is a big slab of meat.
If we're going to talk about Alec being a big slab of meat, I have something to say, but I feel like we have to describe
We've
the book.
Got to describe
first.
The okay. book, and
I
think I you
went
and I,
last week.
And I went the other week before.
And
I guess, unfortunately for you, Jamie, it's going to be your turn to describe the book.
All right.
Tanner and I have been really carrying the
I know. I've
the
been
weight
slacking.
Of this. You've been slacking. What we're going to do is we're going to give you 90 seconds, which, as you know, is the amount of time it takes Tanner
to pleasure me.
Pleasure a lady.
A hypothetical.
And during those 90 seconds, you can describe every single thing that happens in this novel.
Let me just make sure I have the names right. He's Alec. She's Lily.
Scott.
And I'm going to begin. Tell us everything that happens in this book beginning.
Okay. So Alec is a Scottish man. He is 17th in line for a dukedom. Or maybe 17th in line for a dukedom. And then the duke dies and everyone else in line for the dukedom dies. And all of a sudden he's a duke and he doesn't want to be a duke. And he just stays in Scotland. But then he finds out that the dukedom had a ward and there has been a scandal and the ward is in scandal. It turns out the ward is the most beautiful woman in all of England, Lily. She's 23 years old. She's been romantically involved with this artist. He's a dipshit. And he is going to be showing at a large fancy show the nude portrait he painted of her that he promised to her would never be shown. And that is scandalous. Alec comes to England to try to save Lily and they fall in love with each other, basically. And so the rest of the book is them falling in love, denying that they're in love with each other, admitting they're in love, but saying they can't be with each other because they're not worthy of each other. And also trying to save Lily's reputation by stealing and destroying the painting. She also makes some friends. She's never had any friends. She's very lonely, including four of the five soiled S's sisters we met in the first book. They help her out. They're fantastic. She gets a dress. It's got plaid on it. And they break a bed and they fall in love. And she decides to let the painting be shown anyway because she is so strong and powerful.
And time. My God, that was fantastic.
Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, that's how does it.
I honestly was like, let's see how Jamie does at this, because it's always so difficult, and we always fumble through it, and now
oh,
she's
you,
gonna
you
see
find it
what
difficult?
It's like being under this spotlight. I admit that it's difficult. You're terrible at
it. I think I find it a breeze.
So...
I think it's a breeze.
That was very good.
I think I came to this as a listener of the show who, even though I've read almost all of the books that you've talked about really wants them to actually be summarized on the show. And so that was my mission.
You're ready.
For the
you
rest
did it.
Of the
you
listeners.
Fucking nailed it.
Thank you.
You also did mention a thing that is, I don't know if it's a segment, I guess it's just a comment, but it's a thing that I like about romances.
Okay.
That I'd like,
I like
to
that
share
segment.
With you.
I like this as a segment. Yeah.
That it's also this also about friends. It's really nice because she's like yes, they're porking each other. Let's just say it. They're porking each other and they're porking each other constantly. But the other thing that's nice is that she finds some friends and like that's just as important. She's friends with our friends because they're our friends from the last book. It's the Soiled Sisters.
Yeah.
Soiled Sisters. And they're so nice to her and she didn't have any friends before. Because she's neither fish nor fowl.
She's like a Harry Potter. She's like a Harry Potter
character. You're saying
that
because she lives in a little bedroom under the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but she doesn't have any friends because she's the Duke's
well, she
ward. Okay,
she's between classes.
She's between classes, like the she's not aristocracy. So once the Duke, who raised her most of her life, dies, she's just sort of passed from Duke to Duke, from house to house. But the servants won't talk to her because she's too high above them. So she lives in a tiny room where she can hear the maids laughing on the other side of the wall.
Sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
She's got no friends, and that's why she allows herself to fall for this. Like, he's a real douche.
Real dipshit, yeah.
Oh,
but he is a good artist.
Yes.
A very good artist.
So we're told.
One of the best.
Yeah.
The best since Ingress.
No, he's a contemporary.
Ingress. Tanner.
Angrous.
That actually leads me to a segment. If
is
I,
it about
if
my
fa-
is it about it? Jamie's favorite room of paintings at the Met Museum, because it's the Angrous room.
The Angrous.
Yeah, we do it every week. Why? Of course it is.
How have you been doing this segment without me?
Well, most of the time we just skip it, but it is on the agenda every week.
Okay.
This segment is actually called my. Sorry, I can't wake your baby, but I didn't.
I appreciate the solidarity.
You have to yell for all three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend of the week.
Woo.
How's that?
Good.
I can't wake my baby. My baby's fast asleep. And he's a big boy now, and he just turned 4, and happy birthday to my child.
Did he get any
birthday.
Good gifts on his birthday?
Yeah, Uncle Tanner sent him a Jar Jar Binks, and he fucking loved it. He opened it today.
Disgusting.
He loved it.
Jack sent a video, and Jack said, who is that? And he said, a Gungan. And Jack said, you know his name? And he said, yeah. And Jack said, what is it? And he said, will you tell me his name?
But were you not somewhat impressed? That
yeah,
Gungan?
He was
yes.
Like, oh, this looks like a Gungan. I don't know which one, because there are so many in
so
Phantom
many of
Menace.
Them.
So yeah. I can't tell you precisely which one it is, but I know that it's a Gungan.
And then when you said, it's Jar Jar Binks, he went, it's Jar Jar Binks!
He was very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this has been
Dead Talk.
And Mom Talk.
I didn't really talk in that part.
You were present.
Okay.
Here's my burn. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each year, the Academy prides itself on a special piece, a first exhibition of one of Britain's most skilled contemporary artists. In the past, we've revealed unparalleled works from Thomas Gainsborough and Joseph Turner and John Constable, each to more acclaim than the last. This year, we are most proud to showcase renowned artists of stage and canvas, Derek Hawkins.
That's the burn?
Yeah, it's a burn on Sir Joshua Reynolds.
The only reason Tanner and I are not laughing is that we don't.
You don't
want to
wake the child.
We don't want to wake the baby.
Yeah,
right.
But you know, to mention Gainsborough and not even give a nod to Reynolds. Is
oh yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
That's pretty rich.
Yeah,
pretty
it's
rich.
Pretty rich. Yeah.
Should I do mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the segment.
Somehow, standing here with this impeccable Englishwoman in this impeccable English townhouse, in this impeccable English square, wearing an uncomfortable suit, barely fitting in the open doorway, feeling big and out of place, he could not help but hear it. Couldn't help but feel it. close and unsettling, like the tight cravat around his neck. How often had he heard it from beautiful women, whispered in awe, as though they were too busy imagining the fine, deep notch he would make in their bedposts to keep their innermost thoughts to themselves. When one came in the size he did, women tended to desire it like a prize. A bull at the county fair, massive and beastly. And the burn's on me.
Okay.
You know? It's so hard just being so big and desirable. Like
just
a
notch on the bedpost.
County fair, yeah. Massive and beastly. Huge dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Tough. Oh, that's a tough burn, and it's very good of you to reveal this sensitive side of yourself.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Live through every day. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
no problem.
This book has really clearly opened you up. You're really kind of just letting it out there, and that's really nice.
Thank you. You know,
yeah.
Try to be a little vulnerable every now and then, and I'm glad you guys are hearing me.
No, I felt that I understand my hurt. Better. After reading this, because that's this guy's, everyone calls him a big brute. Everyone always calls you a big brute.
Yeah.
Behind your back. And for him, it really hurts. It wounds, doesn't
it? Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, because the problem is that women just, he's not for keeping. He's just for one night.
And that's what they say.
And how do you think Jamie feels? You know, it's kind of a burn on Jamie too.
Yeah,
this endless
string
of women who are always throwing themselves at me.
No, like, that is a burn on Jamie that she
married someone who's supposed to only be for one night.
Just for one night. Yeah.
My burn actually ties into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my burn is pretty late in the book. Lily is getting a dress made basically to try to be so hot that Alec has to admit that he's in love with her. And at the dressmaker shop at the same time is this woman, Peg, who is the woman who...
Oh, she's like a dingleberry.
Yeah, she sucks. She is the woman who made Alec think that he is just for one night and not for forever and it's is not to be married. She's awful.
He carries this like guilt and burden with him that like prevents him from being with Lily. And eventually he admits it to her. And the guilt and burden is that like he essentially fucked his way through college.
Yeah. So like he was in love with Peg and she was and they slept together and he was like, all right, well, I will do the right thing and I'll marry you. And she was like, oh, honey, no. And then like all her friends were like, I want to ride the Scottish brute, but he was super broke and they gave him money. And so she's awful and she is giving Lily a really hard time. All right. So the night before, Alec had like almost confessed his love to Lily and then had abandoned her and he had gone to Peg's house to like remind basically to make himself feel like shit. I just hit my reading goal for the day.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Your reading goal for the day is to read.
Well, it's just like in the app.
Novel?
It's like a quantity.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And yes, it counts as reading. Right. Jealousy shot through Lily as the Countess neared, a small, knowing smile on her lips. He came to me because he wanted the reminder that you are not for him. That's the Countess. The words stung like a blow, hard and wicked. Lily refused to show it. She straightened, willing herself strong. If he came to you, Peg, then I assure you, I am not for him. And so that's like burn one. Because that's like
that's
sort of
good.
Not a thing Lily has innately in her. And so one of the Talbot sisters who she's there with whispers, good girl.
Yeah.
but then my other burn is like a page later, the mean woman leaves and one of the sisters says, that woman is a termagant, which I gather is a burn. I had to look up what it meant. So that was a
what
burn
does it
on
mean?
That was a burn on me
it's
for
like
just
a shrewish.
Yeah. A harsh.
Like
a harsh tempered
like
or overbearing woman.
A Xantippe.
So that doesn't help.
Yeah. Oh. that didn't clarify it for you, Jamie. It's a Xantippe.
Xantippe is Socrates' wife.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Well,
a famous.
All right, burn on Jamie again.
I thought you were supposed to be the smart one of the two of us.
Yeah.
You're both the smart one of the two of us. How does that make you both feel?
Yeah, it's good. It brings us together, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a natural bond there.
There is.
I think that Sarah McLean, or Sarah McLean, depending on how you like to pronounce it, has animal blindness.
Animal blindness. Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Let's see. I got a few passages here.
What do you think? She doesn't see animals, or she doesn't? She can't tell animals apart.
She can't tell animals apart. Here's the first passage. You don't care for dogs? He did not lower his paper. She did, actually. She'd always rather wish she had one. They're dogs? I thought they were small horses. This is Angus, he said, one hand peeking out from behind the paper to stroke the massive head on his left. And this is Hardy. He delivered similar care to the other. They're kittens. You'll like them.
Okay.
It's very confusing
passage.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think they're probably very large kittens, which is confusing because kittens are usually small.
Very large kittens are very small horses.
Right.
That's just science.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is.
Okay. Do you have more, Jack?
I mean, it just keeps coming up through the book. He might hate all things English, but Alec wasn't a monster. He wasn't about to leave the girl to the damn wolves. And if the she-wolves next door were any indication, it was a good thing he was there, as the poor girl was already their meal. And it's actually people who live next door.
Mm.
Oh, weird.
That's so confusing.
Yeah, yeah, super confusing.
But Sarah McLean said she-hulks?
She said she-hulks.
No,
live she... next door.
No.
Huh.
Well, that's not even a kind of animal.
No, exactly. And it's all over the place.
That's
and
what we're saying. She has animal blindness.
Yeah, she has animal blindness. It's tough to read a book by someone with animal blindness, and it's like, I don't want to like malign it like it happens.
Yeah. She can't help it.
Once I realized that was happening, I just allowed for it. And it didn't get in the way of the experience.
Oh, good.
Jack, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It's a segment.
Yeah.
Can I also answer it?
If you know the answer, but okay. I don't think you do.
What the?
It's called Scotland Facts with Wee Man Jax. And Jack, you went to school in Scotland.
That's accurate, yeah.
St. Andrews,
mm-hmm.
which is both the name of a town,
mm-hmm.
a golf course.
And a saint.
And a saint and a school.
Mm-hmm.
And
the school's on the golf course.
Is it?
Yeah.
And they're both in the town?
Mm-hmm.
Named after the saint. So we've gotten to the bottom of the etymology.
Yeah.
You know a lot about Scotland, presumably.
Sure.
You're sort of our resident expert on Scotland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would assume.
Yeah.
More than me and Jamie. Mm-hmm. Let me read you a passage.
Okay, perfect.
She had not known Derek for her entire life. She'd known him for 6 months, 3 weeks, and 5 days since he'd approached her on the afternoon of Michaelmas.
Michaelmas.
As she lingered in the Hyde Park sun on one of the last warm days of the year and told her in no uncertain terms that he was going to marry her. Jack, what's Michaelmas?
Michaelmas.
It's Christmas for Michael?
It's not Christmas for Michael. It's one of these freaking days like Pentecost in the church calendar.
Only Michaels get presents?
Am I losing my mind? Or
we talked about this before.
I'm having the most intense
deja vu. I didn't get a good answer.
We did. This
we
came
talked
up
about it when we read
game
the governance games,
oh
but
God.
I didn't get a good answer, and now I want an answer. What is Michaelmas?
I told you a pretty good answer.
Saying it right,
Michaelmas.
Michaelmas.
It's spelled Michaelmas.
Yes, and we know that in the English language, everything is pronounced how it looks. Come on,
right, I'm going to start calling my father-in-law
Mickle.
Grandpa Mickle, and we'll see how that goes over.
Yeah,
he'll
Grandpa Mickle is going to be like, I told Jamie that he was one of these guys that you only have for a night and not for a whole lifetime, and she wouldn't fucking listen.
Grandpa Mike loves me.
Michaelmas, it's one of the days in the church calendar. It's kind of like Pentecost. You know, it's just a day, and it's probably the mass that you have.
For Michaels.
To celebrate Michael.
It's just Christmas for Michaels. Only Michaels get gifts.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to take a quick break.
Okay, we'll come right back.
All right, guys, see you on the other side.
Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Hey, everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, And a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Jack, Jamie, you both know me well. You both know that I am a man of culture who has traveled the world and spent a lot of time overseas.
Loves bragging about it.
Someone who likes to experience other cultures without exoticizing, right? It's all about drinking it in, really immersing yourself in the culture. And for that reason, I love Scottish tweets. You know, it just makes me feel like I'm there with my people, the Scots. So I want to introduce a hit segment that we do every time we read a book about Scots, and it's called... Is this a passage from the book, or is it a Scottish tweet?
Okay, perfect.
And I'm going to read you something that's either a passage from the book or a tweet from a Scottish person, and you guys have to guess which one it is.
Okay? Great.
Jamie was sitting next to me on the couch earlier as I was preparing this segment, and I kept laughing.
Okay.
And she said, aren't you supposed to be getting ready for the podcast? You're just reading Scottish tweets.
That is getting ready for the podcast.
May I begin?
Please.
Yes.
Here's the first passage. I'm not as good as a Scottish accent as you, but I'm going to give it a shot because...
Oh, boy.
His brogue in the text and the brogue in these Scottish tweets demands being read like a Scot.
We should have called up a Scottish friend, except it's like 1 a.m. there, and had them read these.
I went to university in Scotland.
Did you hear about that?
Did you hear about that?
No, but like a real Scottish person, not you with your teenage
accent. I'm the closest here.
We could call Scott. May I do my hit segment?
Please.
All right, here's the first passage. When you push a pull door and the person behind says, you need to pull. Oy. Aye, cheers, lad. Sure. Next plan was to start lifting from the bottom. Is that from this book or is that
that's
a Scottish
tweet?
So
there are
a lot of
segments in this book where he pulls the doors off the... he's constantly... He's like,
that's what makes it so tricky.
He's a Scottish brew. Scott is. And so he's constantly like, whenever... Like they're constantly finding themselves outside of a locked door.
And he's just like, I'll just lift it off.
So your guess is the book?
So my guess is from this novel.
No, it's a tweet.
That was at Sloane Perry on Twitter.
Okay.
Should I do the next one?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I love listening to Scottish tweets. They rule.
Well, it might not be a Scottish tweet. It might be from the book.
Gotcha.
I love listening to romance novels. Yeah. They rule.
Yeah, can't lose. Can't lose with this segment.
One of the best nicknames I've ever heard is a guy in my work called Wayne Bruce, and he gets called Man Bat.
Tanner. Tanner, yeah. Is this a segment or is this an excuse to read Scottish tweets?
I'm going to say because Sarah McLean has animal blindness.
Oh, yeah.
As we know. So I think it's from this book. Man Bat is exactly something that Sarah McLean would accidentally say because of her animal blindness.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll say it's a tweet because it's not in this book.
It's an uncredited tweet. Yeah. It's a Scottish tweet.
God, I'm good at this.
Baby coughing on a bus right as I needed take off, so I nearly exploded holding it because I didn't even want to look like a guy who copies babies.
All right, Jack, tell us why that one's from the book.
Because it's like this guy in this novel, Scott, he's like always trying to be this tough guy. But underneath, he's just like...
It's a tweet. It's from sensitive. @butsay_.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why it's a tweet is because buses didn't exist.
Yeah. Probably have the patience for one or two more, huh?
Yeah, let's just have a couple more.
Just seen a bird shouting at her bairn to put on his pants and then pointing at me saying, look, the man's going to steal your willy. What the fuck? What the fuck? No, I'm no.
It's a perfect, honestly, that's like, you know that thing where they're like the Hemingway short story that's like the saddest story in the least amount of words? That's like you can't cut a single word out of that to be the funniest. Yeah, baby shoes, for never sale, worn. Baby shoes
for
or
steal,
whatever.
Baby this is like, Willie.
Like, it's a literary masterpiece. Like every word in that adds value. And it's from this book.
And it's actually a tweet. Ryan King with two G's.
You didn't even let me guess.
Oh, sorry. What were you going to guess? Tweet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, King is actually from this book. So he's from the last book we read in Scandal and Scoundrel.
Yeah.
He was the Marquess of Evermore.
Eversley?
Whatever. I'll do one more. This one's pretty
good.
Tricky.
Please. I wonder what this one will be.
Okay.
Notice there was a fly on our flight. And it full on blew me mind.
You
that lad has no
that don't
clue
have
that he's full on emigrated. We'll never see any of his family or pals ever again.
Why is this book so funny?
That's a Scottish tweet @Rouse_MC.
Is this book the first ever sexting scandal?
Do you think so?
What? Yeah. No, it's not a sexting scandal. It's leaked nudes.
It's a sexting scandal.
It's leaked nudes.
It's leaked nudes, isn't it?
It's revenge
but she's
porn.
Yes.
Which there's legislation against now.
And it's
first
ever.
Well, now there is.
First ever.
I can't believe it took this long. What, this
back
is
in
1830?
Back in the old days, it took way longer to leak your nudes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Didn't it? And that's what the book's about a little bit, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Can we agree that?
Yes.
In the olden times, if you wanted to leak your nudes, like
you had to paint them.
You really had to go after it. It would take a couple of afternoons to get one down.
I think I could leak my nudes pretty quickly in the old days. I would just go to this Hyde Park they're always talking about and pull my dick out.
Yeah.
That's leaking nudes, right?
That's leaking nudes, yeah. I guess. No, but no one would then, you couldn't then share it around with society. So you would have to pull your dick out, wait for a painter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would maybe commission one.
Can I mention how much, although it's not my personality and my thing, how much I liked how 420 friendly this book was?
What?
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I read a couple passages?
Yeah,
please do.
Maybe it's Sarah McLean. We'll have to have her on. We'll have to ask her.
It's not my thing.
Hey, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
You party?
Yeah. Oh, I know she does. Wes joined them. Then you no longer intend to wed the girl? The words summoned an image of Lillian Hawkins's arms, her hair spilling down her back, tangled in his fingers, her lips on his, and Alec wanted to upend the nearest card table. He settled on, not for all the blunt in London.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and it's not for me necessarily, but it's just cool
me
when
neither.
The book's a little bit 420
friendly.
I don't
smoke blunts.
Yeah.
I vape.
Jamie?
No.
But did you like how 420 friendly this book was?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She loves weed.
Yeah.
She loves it.
I love
it.
She's like sublime over here.
Do you want to rate it the novel on the Mohs scale?
Yeah, we probably should, right?
I know what that means.
It's the segment where we rate the novel on the Moe's hardness scale, yeah. And I think this is
a reader request.
Yeah.
Someone said, like, Joel, I would like to know about your sexual responses to the book.
Yeah, Baby B. Joel was like, how hard do these books make you?
Yeah.
So we're happy to sort of clue him in.
I think this one was a fluorite.
You think it was a fluorite?
Yeah, it's a four on the Moe's hardness scale. Out of 10.
Oh,
10
okay.
is diamond.
You didn't like that he was so sexually giving to her? Is that your problem?
I had to read it really fast.
He was so sexually accommodating?
I had to read it really fast because I didn't have a lot of time and I had to read the whole book in a few hours.
Yeah.
And so I skimmed some of the sexier parts.
Yeah.
Jack.
During some of the sexier parts, I was definitely as hard as Orthoclase.
Okay.
Italian Crystal. Six on the Moe's scale.
Six on the Moe's hardness scale. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jamie? For folks who are not familiar with the Moe's hardness scale, a common object that's similar to what orthoclase is would be like a pocket knife. And a common object that's similar to what fluorite would be is like a copper penny. So I hope that's helpful for folks who haven't read along. And Jamie,
how hard did it make you?
Oh, I don't have a penis, so.
Oh, it's not a... Sorry.
Sorry.
It's not really about... whether or not you have a penis.
Yeah, it's about the Moe's hardness scale. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Just say a gem, Jamie.
I don't know
what's on the fucking...
Just say a gem.
Google it. God, we got to come up with a
quartz,
Jamie Google song.
Quartz. I just...
We do have a Jamie Googles. Jamie's got
seven.
A Google.
Okay, I literally just looked at the crystals
quartz
on my desk. And
quartz
named
is
the
a seven
one.
On the Mohs
okay.
hardness
okay. And that's
scale.
Like, so, I mean, a lot like what a steel nail would be.
Heart, you're slightly
real
harder
hard.
Than I am.
Yeah.
During the sexier passages of these books.
Mm. Yep.
I have so much I want to talk about. Can I just do a quick, just super quick fire sale round of notes?
Yes.
Bib Fortuna's in this book. Have to bring it up.
Okay, Bib Fortuna, it's... the major domo of Jabba the Hutt. For folks who don't know, I am talking a lot about Bib Fortuna lately because I purchased
it's your son's
at great
favorite
expense off of
Star Wars
eBay
character.
A Bib Fortuna toy so that he could
it's
relive
such a
my
fucked
child,
up Star Wars
childhood.
Favorite Star Wars character to have.
And he's like, well, I told him that Bib Fortuna is Jabba's best friend. I know that's not true. He's more like an employee.
Jabba runs a gaming hell. That's common knowledge.
Yeah, that's true.
Before they could answer, the card table erupted in another commotion. Mm. From what Alec could see, the Hawkins character was attempting to negotiate a loan with the casino. The major domo had been summoned, and Hawkins was saying, "My name will soon be known throughout the world. How dare you refuse me?" So that's
Bib
Fortuna.
So this adds an interesting wrinkle to the McLeanverse, because I think that character... is a hero from a previous series, and I didn't realize that
Star
it was
Wars.
Bib Fortuna.
Yeah, Star Wars.
So that means that Star Wars is in the McLeanaverse.
Yeah, I think George Lucas would probably readily admit that.
He would admit that.
Can we talk about nut lore?
Less excited about that than I was about Bib Fortuna, but it sounds like we're here.
I'm intrigued.
And so let's just
I'm
do
intrigued.
It. Yeah.
Oi! The call came loud and somewhat panicked from somewhere to her right, and Lily turned to look, only to see a furious chestnut bearing down on her. She froze, suddenly horribly unable to move. So, I don't know, big sentient nuts?
Yeah, it was interesting. It's like the skeletons, right?
Yeah, it's just part of the
where she just kind of she introduces it and then lets it hang. I mean, she's got so many books, so she's like, I'm gonna come back for
that's
this
nut
one.
Lore. She's just dropping the seeds to nut lore.
They're gonna do the next one. Scandal and Scoundrel number 3 is gonna be a big nut and a skeleton.
And they're gonna be on the Death Star.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Last
guys,
fire...
wait. Oh,
oh yeah.
I thought that would be a really good moment to transition into Love in the Time of Horses. I want you to hold on to those ideas.
Oh, sure.
Skeleton okay. In love with a nut on the Death Star. So just hold that, Tanner. Finish what you have to do.
Last segment, I just want to hit really quickly. Is this true?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me read the passage. The Earl was the farthest thing from her mind. Are you going to tell me what you want me to do? They're about to, they're hot to trot.
They're going
to
pork.
Yeah.
One another.
He was assaulted with images, with hundreds of ideas of what he'd like her to do to him, for him, to herself. He returned his attention to his trousers, a half dozen buttons in the way of what he wanted, and he did, as he was asked, take them off. So, my question is, there are hundreds of things you can do?
Hundreds.
Hundreds of things you can do?
Should we count them?
I'm going to...
Doing it. Number one, Frenching.
Let me
number
think.
Two,
let me think of all the things
69.
I know.
There's three things you can do, folks.
Fisting.
Doing it.
And that's
Frenching.
Four.
69 and fisting. And it's four.
That's a long way from 100.
Okay, wait. But don't forget. Fisting with your left hand, fisting with your right hand. You know.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. 69ing in the dark, 69ing with the lights on.
Sure. Facing this way, so facing that way.
96ing.
Exactly.
96ing. Okay. All right. Yeah. So you can probably get to hundreds.
I'm not sure 96ing has ever been done, but you know, it's
technically
just,
for folks who are still new to this, technically it's four. Fisting, Frenching, doing it in 69.
Yeah. Okay.
Jamie, thank you for introducing our hit segment where we're concerned that everybody's making $1 million off of these novels, and we're doing way harder work than they are because we read the whole novel in a week and they take years to write it.
Yeah.
Mm. And but they're making millions, and we're
and
making
then we
nothing
record
but,
this in like an hour and a half.
Yeah. It's yeah, exactly, and we're better at it. But and so, what if we take all the knowledge that we're gaining from reading this stuff and put it into our own property, whereby we write our own romance novel? And we've already done it, and we've written a bunch of it. And Jamie, I'm really glad to have you here to help us with
Thank
it.
You.
It's our
romance
segment. The novel
expert.
Is called Love in the Time of Horses. And Jamie, we've got a little waylaid, so I'm hoping you can help us with it.
Because like I mentioned before, like you guys are several episodes ahead right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot I haven't heard.
I think that's actually probably for the better because we've sort of backed ourselves into a corner and we need help.
It keeps getting more fantasy.
Okay, so maybe being on the Death Star with a skeleton is not going to be the solution?
Well, you're the expert, we're kind of going to defer to you. So here's what we know so far. Tanner, you can try to help me. There's Lady Greatcleft.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pud
Greatcleft. And
she's Gungan.
It's the Time of Horses.
Yeah.
And it takes place on...
It's Regency.
It's Regency.
But on Naboo.
You're not allowed to ride horses, but she did.
You ride nuts in this universe.
Because of passion.
Yeah.
And then we've got a guy who...
Big nuts.
And speaking of big nuts, we've got a guy called Baron Swalwood.
Yeah.
And he is a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is he also Gungan? I can't remember.
He's a vampire. It doesn't say.
Yeah.
We don't know. But it's horses v. vampires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In this world, right? And so I guess they're both kind of hated by horses, right?
Well, horses are hateful people.
Yeah, the horses are mean.
Yeah.
And the horses are people?
The thing,
well,
for me...
So to speak.
They
have human-like intelligence.
Okay.
I want to start fleshing this out a little bit.
Here's the thing. Here's one lesson we can take from Sarah McLean is that you build a universe, you know?
We've built a universe.
And then you have to make all the pieces kind of fit together inside that universe.
We need to have the meat. We need to have an opening to the novel.
Yeah, I was going to ask, has anything happened yet?
No, we've been building the world, and we kept building it almost too much.
Yes.
I mean, not too much. Like, the Gungan stuff is important.
It's
the vampire
important.
Stuff is
it's
obviously is essential. And then
lore.
The horses is sentient horses. The nut lore is huge for this. And, you know, there's a Death Star. There's definitely a Death Star.
Of course. Right.
Definitely. Yeah. We can't not have that. And there's a magic system that is, I can't remember.
what the magic system
is.
Anyway,
Gungan-based?
I don't remember, but if you know someone's name, it's like in Brandon's.
Oh, yeah. You've commanded over them.
But I want them to, I want to start doing the work of having them meet, and this is Jamie.
Well,
and
Jamie,
you.
You're a professional writer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this
I don't really
I think somewhere you can help in. You can come in and help. You have the character Bible now.
Can you open this novel for us?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see how this book opened.
Yes.
Oh,
great.
Plagiarism.
I
love it.
No. Inspiration.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do we want a prologue or chapter one?
No, let's start with chapter one.
Okay. The prologue's reserved for like the war of the gods that sets up the entire universe.
The prologue is going to be full of the like Gungan vampire stuff that's going to take a lot of setup.
Yeah.
Okay. So chapter one opens with a description of how beautiful Lily is. And then we get, which is why the female half of the aristocracy took exceeding pleasure in the events of the 24th of April, 1834, the opening day of the Royal Academy Exhibition of Contemporary Art, and the day Lillian Hargrove, current favored beauty of the scandal sheets, was made a proper scandal and ruined.
Okay.
Thoroughly.
So we should probably describe Pud's
lady,
beauty.
I've got it. Lady Great Cleft is a beautiful, beautiful babe.
Gungan babe.
And that's why the horses wanted to paint her.
Perfect.
Does that sound? It sounds almost too much like Jane Austen.
Yeah. You're probably going to get a copyright strike on that.
Isn't Jane Austen public domain now?
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that's a good opening for our?
Is Jane Austen public domain?
She must be.
Is that true?
Oh, why don't we just
let's
copy
just
Pride
take,
and Prejudice?
Let's just take Pride and Prejudice. Right?
No, yeah, it is. That's why Pride and Prejudice and zombies could happen.
Okay. Perfect. Pride and Prejudice full text. Here we go.
Yeah, it's a truth universally acknowledged.
Here we go. It's a truth universally acknowledged that a single Gungan in possession of a good horse
must be in want of a vampire. Yeah, perfect.
That's beautiful.
That's actually really good. Yeah. And so that's how we'll start. And then we'll do the I like the thing about the horses want to paint her.
The horses do want to paint her, yeah.
They do want to paint her.
The horses are... I think evil.
They're very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do, they're like Thrawn in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Great collectors of art, great connoisseurs of art. Evil, but like.
And they know that they want to paint her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
And then does she ride one as like payment? I know Thrawn because I've napped on a very long car trip to Thrawn. I would come in and out.
Falling asleep to a Thrawn audiobook.
It was really great, actually. It was really good dozing.
Cyril, my wife, Sarah, takes our boy. They love to read together. And Sarah often takes him to the library and they pick out books. And it's often very sweet because recently he's been picking out like bug books and shit.
It's cool.
And then when when they go back, she always has to persuade him to return a book so they can get a new one. And he never wants to return any of them because he loves them so much. And so that same thing was playing out this last time they were at the library. And then he happened to wander past the Star Wars graphic novels.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And he was like, send them all back. Send them all back. And so now, like, I walked in, I went out for drinks with a friend and I came home just as bedtime was happening last night and walked into the house and heard Sarah being like, and they built a second Death Star in the Galactic Empire.
Poor Sarah.
Like, what the
well,
fuck
here's
are
a
you
question.
Doing?
Is that in the public domain? Because we can probably lift a little bit of that too.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah. This is straying very far from a romance novel. I think I see your romance novel.
Yeah, I wanted. This is what I was hoping you would help us to bring it back.
Oh, you think we should sex it up a little bit?
So there's the opening line, and then Pud wants the horse to paint her.
No.
But we need. No.
Opposite.
The horse wants
have to paint her because she's so.
And so
beautiful.
Then she says, fine, you can paint me, but I want to ride you because I've always wanted to ride a horse.
Yeah. And now she's an outcast.
Yes.
Right.
And that's
and
like
so she's
getting,
on the run.
And that's like how she gets ruined in society, just like in the book.
She's ruined. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for bringing us back. And now she's ruined.
Right.
And now she's ruined
now
in
she's
a scandal.
Ruined. Well, and great, and Swalwood doesn't think well of himself and has a inferiority complex because he's a fucking
because
vampire.
His dick is too big.
He's more dick than man.
Okay, that seems like pretty good.
I feel like we fleshed it out a little bit. I'm feeling good about the direction the book is heading.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
God. I don't know if anyone at a major publishing company is listening to the show, but please. If you are and you're interested in this, I know we're not done yet, but you've heard a little bit of the heat we're dropping. We've got an acclaimed author and former romance book reviewer contributing to the text now too. So if you want to offer us a
and
six,
the author
seven
of
figure,
67 Reasons Cats Are Better Than Dogs, and the author, the two authors of Review of My Cat.
Of Review of My Cat,
Well,
and the author of Social Sabotage, the hit game that was on, sold on Walmart shelves everywhere, you know?
So, wow.
Feel free to just kind of
just hit us up.
Send the offers in. We're happy to consider any offer.
We don't have much time left.
We've got to do some Baudelaireizing, Jack.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
We have to.
So there's a lot of cursing Shakespeare in this novel. Because he's a Robert Burns fan, Scott.
Oh, I love
in
the
this
Talking Heads.
Book is constantly talking shit on Shakespeare, which is also a favorite thing that Baudelaire used to do. Also a graduate of my alma mater of St. Andrews. And Baudelaire famously took all the dirty parts out of Shakespeare, and that's what we're going to do for this book.
Yeah.
So you can listen to it at the dinner table. We'll try to do a quick one because we're running way past time. And it's a segment that's called Three Prude Dudes.
Three Prude Dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
And it's all of us. Does anyone have a passage they would particularly like to select?
Can we do the carriage one?
Yeah, please.
The first one.
And Sarah, you know a Sarah McLean novel because they're fucking in a carriage.
They're fucking in a carriage and there's like three acts of cunnilingus before the man takes his pants off. You're like, that's Sarah. Yeah.
Do you want to read it, Jamie?
Yeah, please.
He lifted his head and looked to her. Her eyes closed and frustration clear as she rocked against him. I mean, they're in a
stop.
Well, they're in a carriage going over a bumpy road.
What about rocked the vote or rocked
next to him?
That's a positive message. Like she rocked.
How about sat politely next to him?
Sat politely. Okay. Is great. Thank you. Yeah.
He lifted his head and looked to her. Her eyes closed and frustration clear as she sat politely next to him, desperate for something she could not find herself. That's why she was frustrated. Desperate for something he could easily give her, for something he wanted to give her.
Okay.
We don't know what it is yet.
Gift.
Maybe it's a gift. He slid a hand beneath her skirts.
Okay.
He slid a hand into the gift bag that was sitting by his feet.
Perfect.
It's Santa.
Yeah,
he's Santa. All right.
Yep.
The brush of his fingertips on the inside of her knee. No. The brush of his fingertips inside the bag
on
of
the
gifts.
On the corner of one of the presents.
Corner of one of the presents. Yep. Opening her eyes because she heard the rustling, I guess.
Yeah.
Her mouth opened and he shook his head, staying her words. Great. Here, he teased, stroking there at her knee.
No.
Beginning to unwrap
the present. Here, he teased, beginning to unwrap the present.
Yeah.
She shook her head. No.
Okay.
He slid his hand
stops
up the
unwrapping.
He stops unwrapping his hand up the outside of her pantaloons.
No, absolutely not. That's the dirtiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
He stops unwrapping the gift, and she keeps on her pantaloons.
I think Jamie's point that she keeps on her pantaloons is good, because I don't think it's a bad idea to constantly be establishing that everyone is fully
wearing
clothed.
Pantaloons, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He stops unwrapping the gift, and let's take a pause now to remind
just kind
everyone
of recognize
that everyone in the scene is fully clothed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not erect.
Loathing the fabric. It's fine. He has very particular fashion taste.
He hates her clothes.
Yeah.
The way it blocked her from his touch.
The way it was so out of season, you know?
Yeah.
So Santa's judging.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's literally his fucking job, Jack. Have you not heard about his list?
Oh, she's probably wearing white after Labor Day.
Putting her on the naughty list because she's wearing
poor fashion
white
judgment.
After fucking Labor Day.
You know what she's into? She's into the fast fashion. And Santa's it's unsustainable. It's wasteful.
Yeah.
We don't advocate for fast fashion in the North Pole.
No.
But he deserved it. The denial for what he did, for not being good enough for her. That's fine.
Yeah.
Santa's kind of self-loathing. He deserved it just as she deserved the pleasure he could give her With presents. With presents.
With presents.
With yeah. presents. With presents. Yep.
In this moment, just once.
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. once a year. So in this yeah. Christmas, just once a year, without taking his own gifts because he's Santa.
That's perfect. Okay. And Santa wouldn't.
No. Yeah.
Santa's not going to take his own fucking gifts.
No.
Actually, Santa famously
actually,
does not
if
masturbate.
I can pause for a second, is Santa the saddest man in the world because no one gives him a gift?
Well, he's Mrs. Claus gives him a gift.
Do you know that?
Well, they surely do it at least.
Okay. All right, forget it.
A little bit, right?
Okay.
Probably
okay,
on
forget
his
it.
Birthday, he gets like
this
a...
just a thought.
Gets like a special...
That feels even sadder than not having any sex at all. Just like, okay, it's your birthday. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Here, he asked again, higher on her thigh near the crease that marked the beginning of her
no,
most secret
no,
place.
Not, no, Jamie. No. Jamie, no.
Here,
he said, handing her
a present,
another gift. And we should get into what these are.
How about this? How about this? Here, he said, reaching into her stocking to put in coal because she was wearing fast fashion.
Perfect. Yes.
Near the crease of it that marked the beginning of her most secret place where he wanted to be
bottom
more
of the stocking.
Than he. Okay.
Bottom of the stocking. That's every woman's most secret place.
Well, then this doesn't make sense. Where he wanted to be more than he wanted to draw his next breath.
He's sad.
This actually seems fine.
Okay.
Yeah, he's sad. He wants Santa. The sad thing about Santa is he wants to be at the bottom of the fucking stocking with yeah. coal.
He wants.
Cause
he wants
because he only gets a fucking one time. He gets a gift from a perfunctory gift from Mrs. Claus on his birthday.
So, this next bit actually works because she's feeling sad too. She shook her head again, but this time the word came out on a little cry. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. She's fucking sad yeah. too, man. This is the saddest story I've ever heard.
Bummer out.
He found the slit
watching
in the
Santa,
pants.
Like, ugh, God, what a bummer. Go ahead.
He found the slit in the pants. He found the bottom of the stocking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Found the coal in the stocking.
Found the slit in the stocking, which is the top of the stocking.
Okay.
Yeah.
And moved yeah. deeper. Perfect.
Yeah, reached his hand all the way down. Okay. Yep.
Finding the soft curls there, stroking as she panted her desire.
Sounds charged, but...
Finding the soft coal.
I think you meant to say finding the soft
coal there.
Yeah, coal.
Stroking
as she panted her desire. Yeah, that's what you
forgets,
would do if
forgets.
It's Christmas Day.
Every Christmas morning, I come downstairs and look at the full stockings and all the gifts under the tree, and I'm like...
imagining their color because you can't see
yep.
them because they're so stocky.
It's black.
A beautiful secret auburn.
No,
it's black.
What kind of cold is this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Here then.
Fine.
She was through with the game, and he saw the irritation in her gaze when she found his, and then she spoke, shocking the hell out of him. Shall I show you? Finally, she wants to open the presents, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Jesus. Yep. Took long enough.
She was fucking glorious.
Let's not have a swear
okay,
word.
She was glorious.
No. It was glorious.
It was glorious.
It was glorious.
Christmas was glorious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we're all panting.
Hooray for Christmas.
He replied instantly, please. And then her hand was on his, and she was pressing him deeper, past the curls and into the silken softness of her hot and gloriously wet.
Stocking.
Yeah, and just throw stocking on the end of that, and I think we're good.
So, and then her hand was on his, and she was pressing him deeper past the coal into the silken softness of her stocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot and gloriously wet.
Yeah, fine. It fell in the milk.
Okay.
It's a wet stocking.
Okay. She gasped a single word as she took what she wanted of the presents, her gaze unapologetically yep. on him there. He kissed her then, long and lush. His
face- No.
Oh.
No, Jamie! Jesus!
He ho-ho-ho'd then, long and lush.
He ho-ho-ho'd.
Okay.
Yeah. Long, yeah.
His fingers searching and stroking and tempting her secrets from her until they were without breath because they were so excited about Christmas.
Yeah, that and I would funny. Say yep. not from her, but from the stocking.
Okay.
Yeah, from the stocking.
Releasing her lips. I don't know when he had her lip. Oh, he kissed her then, right?
No.
Oh, no. He ho-ho-ho'd then. Releasing another ho-ho-ho.
Yeah.
Yes.
He found her eyes closed as she rocked, as she sat politely next to him. That's what we do for rocking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her hand on his, showing him all the ways she wanted him to open presents.
Yes.
They talk for a little bit, so I'm gonna.
Didn't either of them come yet?
No. There's like a lot of talking.
Jesus, take your time, you two. That feels good. It's just sort of a nice scene where Santa is giving someone a gift.
Okay, there it is. He watched those eyes, gray like the North Sea, riveted to him as her breath quickened and her hand clutched his wrist as she panted her desire. And he held that gaze until she called out his name. So maybe she called
Santa.
Out Santa. She's just
yep,
so excited.
That's fine.
And she cried out again and again.
Yay.
Yay. Taking him in the darkness, showing him the sun of gratitude.
Showing him the gift.
The gift.
And what was it?
An orgasm.
Okay. Perfect. Tanner is gone, folks.
Tanner's
he needed
gone.
To go use the bathroom. It's just me
what
and Jamie.
We talk
we're going to leave.
Oh, we're going to leave.
Well, I'd love to chat with you, but we do have to go.
We can wrap up.
Oh, this is going to be nice because Tanner's so bad at wrapping up. I am trying to say all the things and he interrupts me.
Okay. I can do that.
Perfect. What I would like to say is to thank everybody for listening to our podcast.
Thank
Jamie,
you.
I'd like to thank you in particular for bearing with me,
thank me
this week. I would like to remind everyone that they can, of course, subscribe to our Patreon if they would like to. It is patreon.com/BSCCpodcast.
Please do that.
Talking about the Sweet Valley Twins books. We're also currently talking about the Babysitter's Club
television show.
TV show. There's lots there. It's just $5 a month or $10 a month, depending on what you want to do. Please do remember to join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook.
It's very good.
Rate and review our show.
5 stars.
On Apple Podcasts. And you can buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. Actually, Jamie, I'm glad I have you here because what I must say next is that this week we read a novel. The novel that we read was called A Scot in the Dark. And that's our friend Scott. And I'm sorry, Scott. I hope this hasn't made you blush. It's Scandal and Scoundrel Volume 2 by Sarah McLean. And next week, and this is where you come in.
Oh, we got to pick the next book.
Yeah, what should
so
we
what
read?
Are you, what kind of thing are you guys in the mood for?
Something sexy.
Well, duh. do you want contemporary or just did a historical? Do you want sci-fi? Do you want...
If you've got something with like ghosts in it, I'll do that. But
I don't have ghosts. I have space opera.
Okay.
Tanner, we're not talking... Tanner's like rushing back. We're picking the book for next week.
Should I do the outro?
Not yet. We're picking the book for next week.
You say, what's your favorite thing that we haven't done yet?
Oh, you guys got to do a sports one. You guys got to do a sports one.
that's an entire like subgenre?
Yes.
Sports?
Yeah, let me find it. I'm looking
Fuck
for
yes.
a particular one. There are so many guys.
Sports ones.
Oh, I know what's... I'm going to give you guys one of the Olympics books that I copy edited.
Okay.
Do you want figure skating, skiing, or... Hockey. Do you want? No, I'm not going to let you guys choose. My favorite is
okay.
the skiing one. Let me find it.
Okay, we're going to doing a skiing one.
Oh, I love this book so much. Okay, so for next week, you guys are reading Seduction on the Slopes by Tamsin Parker, which, full disclosure, I copy edited. So also,
wow.
if anyone finds any.
So
errors,
if I find a I'm going to be 100% looking for a
do
title.
Do not tell me. Do not tell
that
me. This was from like before I was reviewing
literally
romance.
The only thing I'm going to be doing
yeah.
next week.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have to carry Jack
typos.
Because Jack's not going to catch any notes except for all of the typos.
I'm just going to blame them all on the typesetter and proofreader. So Seduction on the Slopes
next
by
week,
Tamsin Parker.
Seduction on the Slopes by Tamsin Parker. All that remains is for me to say that I have been this week Jack Alexander Shepherd.
I'm Tanner.
Our guest this week, no, is you.
Me? Jamie. No.
It's Jamie.
I'm Tanner.
We're married.
Yeah, she's my wife.
Okay. And let's have Jamie say who she is and then you do the
okay.
outro.
You want to do
I'm Tanner and then I'm doing the outro.
Jamie, anything to plug?
No.
Will you plug how cute our kid is?
He's real cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Our guest this week has been Jamie Greenring, and you are...
Tanner.
Inside the outro.
Jack stayed with me, adoring me as we basked in our pleasure, whispering long strings of his lovely lyric language against my ears, interspersing the words with soft, lingering segments until I shivered and pulled a blanket over us both.
From Uncle Tanner.
Open the red.
What is it?
This. Can you tell me what it is?
Who's that guy?
A Gungan. Gungan!
Yeah, that's right.
I need help opening this guy. Can you help open this?
Yeah, we'll open him for you. Do you know what his name is?
Yes.
What?
Can you tell me what his name is?
His name is Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks!
Do you want to say thank you, Uncle Tanner?
Thank you, Uncle Tanner. Can you open this?
Yeah, I'll open it.
Be merry!